From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, August the 5th. Each week we address the latest in geospatial technology news and applications. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in San Diego, California.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor, and Joe and I, for the first time, are recording the podcast together. I am also in San Diego, California.
Today we joined you, as Adina said, from the ISRAE conference at the San Diego Convention Center, and we'll discuss the opening sessions of this year's UC, but first a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. ArcGIS 9.3 is now available and offers a complete suite of software that improves your entire GIS workflow.
The opening sessions of the ISRAE conference focused really on past successes of users and applications of the latest updates to ESRI technology, in particular, the new enhancements to ArcGIS 9.3. We saw several exciting user case stories, but also many announcements that were not new, such as spatial regression, perhaps just to catch people's, some of the attendees up on what's going on, people who may not be familiar with the entire breadth of ESRI's technology stack. We overheard about news from ArcGIS Online, added premium services for subscriptions, new cartographic services, improvements to support for PDF and spatializing Adobe documents. But what do you think was the intent?
I think the intent of the session really was, in a sense, and ESRI didn't come out and say this formally, but I got a sense of, hey, we've done an awful lot in the last year or two, especially coming up to 9.3, which has enhanced stability. And we want to, in a sense, give you a bit of a breather and let you relax and catch up with us. Remember, one of the first things that Jack said early on was, hey, it's time to get off of the shapefile and maybe come up and work with the geodatabase. It's ready for you. And that tells me that an awful lot of folks haven't made that step yet. And the geodatabase has been around for a number of years already. So I think, in a sense, maybe ESRI was getting out of sync with its users, getting too far ahead, and they're using this as an opportunity to, as you said, catch them up.
I thought that there were a lot of things that were said in the past, and it got me thinking that, well, maybe not everybody is quite familiar with what's going with, you know, with some of the other technology issues. Not everybody knows about ARC Logistics. Not everybody knows about Business Analyst. People do have their heads down a lot in their day-to-day work, and so they're not quite familiar with some of these other tools. And now that things are being wrapped into ArcGIS Server, that's a whole other level that people have to appreciate and come to know and understand before they can really adopt it in their own organizations.
I think that's exactly right. So the things that did stand out, I think that we want to make sure that listeners know about, Dick Kempthorne, who's the head of the Department of Interior, who spoke yesterday at the Senior Executive Summit, also joined Jack Dangerman on stage today. He received a Making a Difference Award.
That's right.
And had a chance to address the assembled users, and he reiterated the announcement that he made yesterday about Landsat imagery being available for free by the end of the year via the web. He also made an announcement about there being, for the first time, a GIO, a Geographic Information Officer for USGS, which was an interesting announcement. Afterward, Jack said to him that he had hoped that he was going to say GIO for the nation. And actually, that was my first thought, too. So I'm glad that we sort of put that idea into his head.
Well, it's an appropriate place to make that announcement, since this is something Jack has been promoting for years, in particular, not just within smaller organizations, but certainly at the state level. So it's finally come to fruition, at least at the national level, in particular inside the Department of Interior.
Right. And other agencies have had GIOs. Right. EPA has one, for example. So
right.
that was certainly a welcome announcement. I think everybody was pleased to see John Calkins running down the top 10 desktop productivity tools in ArcGIS 9.3. That's something he's done in the past. As he was going down that bullet list of 10, it reminded me very much of Autodesk's Express tools, which was a set of productivity enhancements, if you will, that I always felt should have been in core AutoCAD, but weren't. So they were this sort of little add-on, and now they come in the core package. So it sort of had that feel.
But what was interesting was had a group of users, at least that you think that they were users, telling them what was their hot buttons. You know, really what would make this thing sing, you know, if they were able to put these little bit of enhancements. So we kind of got down in the weeds with Calkins' top 10 points. And so, of course, the big one, which was killer, was...
Number one.
Number one. No more crashes. You know,
right.
Try to stop this thing from crashing, which... We could say that about Windows in general.
Absolutely. And interesting you bring up Windows, because the real enhancement here, I mean, certainly ESRI, per John Calkins, has done an awful lot to try to track down and get rid of the bugs that cause the crashes, and I have no reason to believe that they haven't. But the new feature that they're introducing is feedback, so that when ArcGIS does go down, you have the option to send that information to ESRI so they can use it to try to track things down. Now, I think that's a great thing, but I have to admit, as a user of various software on Windows and Mac OS, whenever that dialogue comes up and something is crashed, I never send it. So I was really pleased that ESRI did sort of have a plea and explain what would happen with that information if you do send it. So
yeah, I always tend to use it, but maybe just to give users or listeners a little bit of a perspective, what they're doing is, and they mentioned this in the discussion, was they're kind of fingerprinting bugs. So that if you crash at a certain point in the program and you select and opt in to use this feedback mechanism, they're going to know exactly, hopefully down to which lines of code in the program may have been causing this. And so when you do report this, it's going to go into a database and they're going to match it against known bug fixes or known bugs in the program.
And other reports of that same area
of
code.
Yeah, right. And I guess they're there from there for prioritize some of the things that they may want to fix. But it's an interesting way, and of course it's been used before in Windows, to actually give immediate feedback, which is a tremendous advantage to users.
So hopefully the user base will step up and take advantage of that and use it. What else struck you as we went through the day that was of significance?
Now, as I said, I didn't think there was a lot new to discuss. I guess I have to reflect on how thoughtful Jack was towards the end of his presentation. And maybe it's coming to the point where, at his point in life, that he is seeing a lot of things develop. And there is so much advancement in the science and in the technology that it is percolating to a tremendous amount of more users. And maybe what he's finding is that it's almost overwhelming to him to see just really what's going on out there in the community, especially when you try to integrate this at more of an enterprise level and then certainly with integration with other types of non-spatial enterprise systems.
I think that's a really good point. And one of the terms that came up several times in the discussion from different people was this idea of different patterns of implementation. And I thought that was really interesting because they talked about the different ways that you could implement, for example, ArcGIS server. It might just be used within an organization, or it might be used to knit together different departments, or it might be the basis of some kind of an SDI. And I really like that they went through those different ways that server was being used and will be used in the future, again, to try to set the wheels in motion in people's brains about how are we going to take advantage of this technology to get to this next level.
And I think that that's impacting their development process. I think if that takes a while to get your head around, because if you're a CIO or an IT manager and you like this technology, see its benefit, and you want to try to implement it in your organization, where do you go first? What are the tools that you use? Having it in a server concept, having it in a way to extract certain pieces of technology and bring it into your organization, using certain standards, using SOAP standards or anything like that, that make it easier for you to get this. This is a tremendous benefit. And ESRI has to package it this way so that it is more palatable to the CIOs.
I want to just talk about two sort of things that struck me, sort of technology things. One was the whole discussion of 3D GIS. And Jack's specific comment that it's not just for visualization, it's for analysis. And the demonstration was given by Mike Parkin of MIT, and he showed how they have been building up the campus in full 3D and actually doing real analysis with it. And the example that he gave that really struck me was a parking lot analysis. So they were building a new parking lot at MIT, and they were asked to find out the locations of the people who had permits to park in this new lot. And they plotted them in 3D across campus, which was visually just very nice. And then they did sort of a crow flies distance from those locations to the parking lot. Now, I'm not exactly sure how valuable that is because, of course, we don't fly through buildings or anything. But it was sort of that first thought of, wow, we really can use 3D analysis to do these kinds of things.
Right, that was a tremendous demo from the aspect of they were using a true building information modeling and management system, such that they had mapped individual buildings down to the room level and classified every room as to whether they're classroom, lab,
dormitory,
whatever, residential, staff, and then were able to essentially query every bit of that information into a 3D model. And then one of the applications that showed was Cambridge was considering a mass transit system. They were doing a 3D fence, which I had never seen before. I thought that was a tremendous thing. So as they look at perhaps the noise level or whatever is going to impact the campus, they're able to do this 3D fence, look at both the X, Y, and Z values of the areas that would be impacted by this new high-speed line. So they see down to the room level what the impact would be. Fantastic.
That was a real nice addition. The other demonstration that stuck with me had to do with the use of image services within ArcGIS Server. And this whole idea that you can actually tap into image analysis provided by different third parties, they're specifically featuring that for ITT, the folks who make Envy. Mm-hmm. And the real step I saw here was this idea that the imagery was not pre-processed and cached and being published out, but instead it was actually being analyzed on the fly so that what you saw in front of you was actually being crunched back on the server. Now, this in and of itself is not a new idea. The first time I saw something like that was actually from Skyline many years ago. But this idea that it's come into the core of ArcGIS Server, I think is going to hopefully change and hopefully enhance how much we use imagery. I think as a group that the GIS world doesn't take enough advantage of imagery.
Yeah, well, we're finally seeing the integration of the two domains, the raster and the vector domain, to a level that we haven't seen previously. It makes a tremendous, it makes that argument go away, I think, to the level that people, it's going to be a seamless environment between the raster and the vector world. So that's a great improvement.
True, I hope it's going to bring an awful lot more visibility to the companies that provide the analytical tools, because there's a whole bunch of them, and they all have different strengths.
Right. I mean, there's ITT Viz, there's Erdas, all of these companies are doing image extraction, and maybe GUI is going to do this, maybe Digital Globe. I mean, providing not only models, but analysis, image classification. That there's kind of a double-edged sword for me, having come from that field, because you kind of would like to know what you're analyzing and classifying before you actually get the answer, right? You know, I mean, I don't want to be given the answer. I'm a domain expert. I should be able to provide the answer. But a lot of this stuff is being done automatically.
Right. And I hope it'll make it more accessible, more usable, and
well, and go all the way back to Secretary Kempthorne and the people who are policymakers. They need this information. They got to make decisions on what to do. And sometimes in the past, people made these decisions from gut feel, not from raw scientific analysis. So this is a way to really provide that data to the people who need to make this decision. And heck, you know, that'd be fantastic if this stuff percolated up to the decision makers the way it is. And I saw this yesterday at the Senior Executive Summit, and here's Governor O'Malley from Maryland trying to make these systems work, you know, at the state level, did it at the city level in Baltimore, governing from a geographic perspective. This stuff is percolating down to decision makers, and again, Jack's vision is to do exactly that.
Well, I think server, I used the word before about ESRI's obligation is to make this palatable to the technology folks and to the political leadership. And I think server is really aimed at doing just that. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Before we go, ESRI would like to remind you that the 11th Annual Conference for the Society for Conservation GIS will be held August 12th through the 15th in Monterey, California. You're invited to be a part of a growing community dedicated to conserving natural resources and cultural heritage with GIS software and science. For more information, visit www.esri.com/events. We also want to remind you about our contest related to the ESRI User Conference, and this is your chance to win an iPod Touch by contributing to our coverage. What we'd like you to do is send us 300 words or so to editors@directionsmag.com or leave us a voice message that we might use at 206-984-4409 about what you found of interest here at the conference. and we'll pick the best one, use it in our coverage, and the winner will receive an iPod Touch. Full details will be available in the show notes. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.